But so you can see that this has been a while talking about this, so I'm just going to use this as a reminder to why we're talking about this and how important this is to the believer. Now listen, this could be one of the most important and valuable understandings of Scripture you ever have, and your reading of the text after this will be completely changed. You'll see the Word of God, how God prescribes for us to grab hold to it. Other than that, maybe we read it with our own understanding, or maybe the understanding of somebody else. We read it and we get an understanding from it. God wants us to understand the way He has prescribed it to us. One of the ways to do that is we study in this Galatians series. So let me read to you this portion of Scripture again. Galatians 4, verse 20. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Now, he's changing his voice. There was a reason for that, because he came to him in a more of a humble way, trying to get him to understand. But he said, I'm going to change my voice now because you're going too far with this. That's what he means there, to change my voice. Verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. Under the law. Now he's referring, when he says under the law, he's referring to the Torah. But he's referring to the Torah in the aspect of what? The letter. The letter. Everybody say the letter. Because there's a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. That's what we talked about last night and last Sunday. There's a difference between the letter and the spirit of. Okay, keep that in mind. So in verse 21, he says, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law. He's talking to those in Galatia because they've been told you have to be under the law in order to be saved. Salvation. Not just being saved for what Christ did for us, but you also have to, and they use the term circumcision of the flesh. That's in addition to accepting Christ. Paul says, not so. And then he asked this question. Ye that desire to be under the law. And he asks this question. Do you not hear the law? Do you not hear the law? Well, he's going to tell us what he means. For it is written. Where's that written at? When he says it is written, what is he referencing? He's referencing Torah, the law. He's referencing that. For it is written that Abraham had two sons. The one a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. Notice that. How many sons? Two. One by a bondsmaid, that came first. Did Ishmael come first? Yes. Ishmael came first, then Isaac, right? So he says one by a bondsmaid and the other by a free woman. The free woman was Sarah. The bondsmaid was Hagar. But he who was of the bondsmaid woman was born after what? The flesh. Remember, the one from the bondsmaid was born after the flesh. It's what man can do for man. It's like somehow God needs assistance. So I got to do something in order for God to really give me what he already desires to give me. Really? You don't have to do anything to get what God gave you. You got to receive what God gave you. Receive it. It's not a works faith. If I do something, God's going to want to give it to me more. No, he gave it to you already. Receive it. Now, the work part comes in later. That work part means you want to obey God now. Because the amazing gift that he gave of life. What did he give us? Life. Not just any life. Eternal life. That's amazing to me. You know, we're not talking about just getting to feel better. Well, I'm going to church because I feel better. That's all you come for. You get used to that, and you feel better. The switch gets turned off, and you get your feelings hurt. It's not what you're here for. We're here for eternal life. Remember that. Eternal life. The prize is way bigger than just feeling something today. Now, don't mean that God don't want you to feel anything. You're feeling something is determined not upon what happens when you walk in this door. You're feeling something is determined by your intimate relationship with God throughout the week. This place can't give you anything. Now, if you want chill bumps, we put the air conditioning up a little bit. You got to grab your women, grab their shawls and wrap around them because they feel it. Well, I ain't never felt the chill bumps in here from the air conditioning. I'm hot all the time. My shirt's wet when I get home. So we can't help you there. Remember, feeling is based upon your own personal intimacy with God, culminating in bringing it together in the house of God where we come collectively and we blend all those things together and we call that worship. We call it worship. Isn't that amazing? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondsmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondsmaid was born after the flesh, and he who of the free woman was born after what? Promise. Remember that. Not the flesh, but promise. God made a promise. Sort of looks like this description here. And Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, freedom, Hagar, Ishmael, bondage. So just keep, I know this is just going back, way back. But I've got to bring this to your attention because what I'm going to get on here in a little bit. Verse 24. Which things? What things? Things we've been talking about just now. Which things are an allegory? Which things are an allegory? Now, were they real events? Well, sure they were real events. Abraham actually, he had two wives. Because once he laid with Hagar, she became his what? His wife. It was his possession. The wife represents the possession. You got to keep that thought in mind because that thought is very important. The wife is his possession. It's his what he possesses. Very important thought to keep. So was did Hagar become his wife? Yes. Which things are an allegory? For these are two covenants. So you're going to tell us what it literally happened, but he says it's an allegory because they represent something. What does it represent? Two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai. So who does he direct Hagar's covenant with Abraham to? Notice how he's bringing in all this information. This is an amazing revelation that Paul has. The one, Hagar, from Mount Sinai, which is gendered to bondage, which is Hagar. How many see that? Now, this is a revelation that he's given to Paul, and Paul's given that revelation to the church, especially the church in Galatia, because they're under it. Remember, he used these terms, who had bewitched you. To be bewitched means there's another spirit that creeps in. We got to be careful about the other spirit, because the other spirit doesn't say we don't believe in Jesus. The other spirit believes in Jesus, prophesies, speaks in tongues, and does all that stuff. But it doesn't keep the commandments. That's how you tell. You ever wondered how you can have a guy who calls himself a prophet, and he prophesies, he calls people out, he gives them information that he shouldn't appear to know, and the whole building's, you know, going, hooray, this guy is amazing. And he can rumble with prophetic words and speak in tongues like nobody else. I mean, he's feeling it. He's got charisma, he's got he articulates his words, everything's fine, but he's sleeping with another man's wife. Now you tell me what that spirit is. You understand? So you can have all those traits, but you got to try the spirit. And when you try the spirit and you find out that he's doing that, he's being led by the wrong spirit, still in the name of Jesus. So that's why Paul said, he said, you're talking about another gospel, which is not another. You're not changing names and all of that. You still say, they all talk about the name of Jesus here. But he said, you're still under bondage. So keep those thoughts in mind because it's important. So he genders the first covenant to Hagar. For this is Hagar, Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. Notice that. What does the first covenant do? The letter does what? What does the letter do? It kills. It kills. But the spirit of the law brings life. Verse 26, but Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So that's what we've been talking about. Now, we've been talking about that for quite some time, but I wanted to go back and just read it to you again because I thought it was important just to touch bases on that a little bit this morning so you know where we are and what we're doing, what we're talking about. Now, we're talking about two covenants, the old covenant we covered, the new covenant we covered, and now we're just still dealing with, now we're dealing with the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. So let's get right to it and see how much we can get done this morning, okay? Let me get back to my original spot here, if I can find it. All right, go to 9:45. So that's why I backed up, because we're way past 6-something. 9:45, we're dealing with the spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. Okay, last night I started talking about this and bringing this up, and I'm going to quickly review what I went over last night to get us where we stopped. In John 63, it said, it is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All right? Notice the words of Jesus. He said, the words I speak are what? Spirit. Why? Because he's going to give us the understanding of Torah. He's going to give us the understanding of what was meant by what God said. He puts the law in place at Mount Sinai, with genders to Hagar, the old covenant. You could only live to a certain potential of that covenant based on how it fixed what was wrong in you. Hence the sacrifices of animals, which, as we talked about in the service, not one was ever resurrected. Not one. But under the new covenant, the lamb slain for us, which is Messiah, he raised him from the dead and put him at his own right hand. Now, I don't know about you, but that sings to me that it's a new covenant. It's different. We don't make animal sacrifice no more. There's no need to do that. We have a supreme sacrifice. I mean, thank God that Jesus has put that sacrifice for us. So you got to keep that in mind. So I was going over this, and I started talking about Matthew 5. Now, Matthew 5 is a commentary. Matthew 5 is a commentary of the Torah. And he's going to talk about some of the laws. And I showed you in Matthew 5, he says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. First of all, he just starts with, think not that I'm come to destroy. Why would he start with think not? Because that's sort of where you're going to go after you hear what he says. So what did the church say? Majority of the church says what? The law is over. What did Messiah say? Think not that I've come to destroy the law. I don't know how we missed that part, but we missed that one right there. Right? All the prophets. So he's talking about the entirety of Torah. I am not come to destroy, but to what? Fulfill. All right, so the church picks that up. Oh, yep. That's what we believe too. When he died on the cross, he was buried and he resurrected. He fulfilled the whole law. No more law. So they take that fulfilled and they said it's done. Well, he goes on because he knows that's going to happen. He knows that's what the church is going to think, and that's what the church did. That's what we did. So he has to go on, and he puts all this in place. It's like building the house. The church built the house and forgot that the foundation had already been laid. What is Christ doing here? He's laying the foundation first. He's laying the foundation on what we can't do when we start interpreting Scripture. What's one thing we can't do? He said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. That's one thing. That's part of the foundation. Now, we're going to build walls on that, or we're going to build walls on our own ideas. We're going to build. Churches build all the time. We build organizations, ideas, ideologies are all built. We're not a theocracy in America. As much as we might want to think, there's no theocracy. There's a democracy, or maybe there's not anything. But the church should definitely be theocracy. But it's more democracy. It's more in the political arena. It's about ideas and inclusion and all those things. Because we don't build on the foundation. The foundation has been laid for us. He's a master builder. He lays the foundation. It's been laid. Not going to be. It's been laid. And then we build on that. So he said, he goes on and he says this, for verily I say unto you, he goes on a little bit more. This is the foundation. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. Notice that. And I mentioned this last night. Till heaven and earth pass. How many know we still here? It's not passed, so how much leaves from the law? Not a jot nor a tittle. That's the smallest mark that's in the Torah does not change. Okay. So how is it new? Because remember, the old genders to the flesh, but the new is by the Spirit of promise. So he's going to explain that to us, but we can't get rid of it, because what happens when you get rid of it? Then you got to take what has been done, you take grace, and you try to mix grace with everything else you can find, and you make these concoctions. And these concoctions, when you make them, you stir them fast enough, out pops stuff. You stir that concoction of grace hard, and Pentecost jumps out. Baptist jumps out that way. Now you get my point. You got that whips going, and I mean, it's just, and so every brand you can imagine pops out of it. We're under the grace. He knew that would happen. That's why he said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. Not a jot or a tittle will pass from the law until, notice what he says, until all be fulfilled. Again, they'll jump on that fulfilled word and say, well, he fulfilled it, so the jot and tittle's gone. Okay, that's fine. What do you have? Well, we have the Ten Commandments. Well, where'd that come from? Listen, the church will fight tenaciously to protect the Ten Commandments from being taken out of courtrooms and public buildings. Picketing, fighting with everything in them. I can't believe. What is that? What is the commandments? What is that? That's the law. You see? So you fulfill word, and it's not under that anymore. That's not a lot to build on. You understand? So what does the master do? He starts explaining to us what we should do in these cases. And he does. He does an amazing job at explaining to us. And again, I can't cover it. I covered all this last night. You can listen to it. But he goes on and he starts with the commandments. Remember I said in verse 21, have you not heard what is said by them of old? Them of old is a reference to the old covenant. Them of old. Thou shalt not kill. How many see that? Thou shalt not kill. Did I give you that one? Phil, I'm sorry. I skipped a couple. 949. There you go. Thou shalt not kill, and whoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Notice that. Right? That's what it says. That's the old covenant, them of old. Were they speaking lies? No, it's the truth. But I say unto you, who's the speaker? Messiah. Yeshua, he's the speaker. But I say, why? Because now we under what? The spirit of the law. The spirit of the law. Was, is there a difference? Well, it's the same principle, but it works different. Remember, if you kill somebody and get caught, then you die under the Torah, under the law. You can't kill. Thou shalt not murder. Commandment, right? Under the spirit of the law, it goes deeper. It's what God meant. He couldn't give them everything at one time, because if he would have, they wouldn't have been able to get it. And that, plus, there was no provision for him to get it to your heart, because he could not come there because of sin. Therefore, the veil's put over Moses when the glory of God's on him, because we're not ready for that yet, which represents a hiding, as it were, getting ready for what's to come. Because he said the veil still remains even to this day in the reading of the law. Still remains. Which veil is to be taken away in Messiah. Because the change happens, what's written on tablets of stone, which is the Ten Commandments, is now written on the fleshly tables of our heart. Think about that. Now, under the old covenant, if the man kills, I gave the example last night, and a couple people's out there, and they sitting in the field, and they look over, and they hear this commotion, and they can't be seen. They're kind of off at an angle, and they see this guy and this other guy just getting after it, just beating on each other. And the one guy prevails and beats the other guy to death. He looks around and takes off. A few days later, they find this dead man's body. They say, man, I wonder who did this. Then the news spreads around town. People are talking, and the two guys say, man, we saw this guy. You did? Yeah, we saw him. Well, who was it? Was that guy over there? Really? It was him? This is under the old covenant. They go snatch him up. Two witnesses. You did. Under the spirit of the law. The only witness there is the witness of Holy Spirit. Got you in the Holy Spirit, because it's a heart matter. I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Now that without a cause is, it should be bracketed, because it's not in the text. I know it makes it sound like you, it's better to have be angry or with the cause, but it says he's angry without a cause. So we can take that to be wrong sometime by saying, oh, with a cause, I can be angry at who I want. You don't know how what they did me. Go on and keep acting that way. That's bracketed. That's not even in the text. That's just put for understanding purposes. But if I remove that, I say, but I say unto you that whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of judgment. Uh-oh. My little excuse there goes out the window. Well, you just don't know what they did me. It doesn't matter, because it's a heart issue now. And the spirit testifies that that anger's there. Now, you feel like I didn't kill him. I want to. See? But I didn't. Therefore, I can't be judged by the law. The new covenant says you're judged. I mean, understand that, because it's immediate. That's the difference when the Torah moves in the heart. Before, you had to have a sacrifice, and you had to. Now, listen, if the man died, the only way the land can be cleansed where the dead body was is for the person who committed the murder to be dead. You couldn't even cleanse the land. Read the rest of that in the Torah. The land was, now the blood was on the land, so the land was defiled. You couldn't plant a field there. How do you cleanse the land? The man who did the death, he has to be removed. His blood has to be shed. What? Can I tell you? Can I just share this with you? The blood has been shed for us to be cleansed. That ought to make somebody want to shout. The blood has been shed so we can be clean. It's not like the old covenant. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The opportunity for you and I to repent is immediate. We don't have to let it fester. We don't have to let it grow. We don't have to be angry forever. You ever met people that have been angry all their life? There's a provision to get out of that, but that's up to you. How many understand that? When a person's angry for a long time, they're waiting for something to happen that satisfies what they meant, whatever it is that made them mad, and then they're going to get up. That's an old covenant mentality. That's like somebody, the animal got to die in order for me to be happy. Let me just tell you. What about the man, Christ Jesus, who laid his life down so I don't have to act that way? So I can have an immediate, I don't have to stay in that, but you can. You can. If you want to be mad, you can be mad for a long time. But the more you act that out, the more, and it'll go from one to the other to the other. Because if you have a tendency to be mad at one person, it won't be long you'll be mad at another person. It won't be long you'll be mad at another person. Before you know it, you don't like anybody. My God, you took all the mirrors out your house because you don't even like you no more. That's what happens to people. You say, oh, it don't happen. I'm telling you, it happens to people. They wake up miserable, go to bed miserable. There ain't nothing make them happy because they let it fester. I'm just trying to review, and I'm going into all this other stuff. Thank you, Lord. Whosoever hates his brother is a what? Sometimes we miss that verse. Is a what? A murderer. So let me just tell you. We all in this building might have a little tendency to have a little murderish thoughts every now and then. Because people get on your nerves. That's the truth. This is what happens. But it's up to you. You can let it stay or you can deal with it immediately. That's what the new covenant's all about. It's an amazing thing. I just love the Lord. So don't say, well, I didn't get caught. I didn't do it. Let me tell you, under the new covenant, it doesn't work that way. You don't need two or three witnesses to see you do it. If you by yourself and you have those thoughts, the Spirit witnesses it. And you're guilty of that. And what do you have to do? Remove it. Remember we dealt with last Sunday? The question, do we stone? The answer is yes. You want to shock? If somebody wants to be shocked, well, y'all aren't doing that Torah stuff and all that, y'all stone? Yeah, we do. That's a drawing message, right? It helped people get interested. Did you hear that? They stone. They faith temple, they stone people. That's what they want to hear. Tell them yes. Under the new covenant, we do. It's put them away. It's the same term. How many understood that teaching? And if not, you listen to it. It's a very important teaching. 27, Matthew 5, 27, but ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. How many see that? What is he doing? Quoting another command. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, what's that? The spirit of Torah. The spirit of the law. Spirit, spirit, spirit. That whoever looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her in his heart, with her already in his heart. Now, a disclaimer. I gave it last time. I'm going to give it again. Looking at the woman or seeing something is not the sin. I don't want anybody to take my words wrong and say, it's not the sin. It's what you do with it to lust after her. So you might see somebody or a man, a woman might see a man or whatever, and you got a thought. What do you do with the thought? I gave it to you in Corinthians. Bring to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what you do. That's how you protect yourself. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing unto captivity the thought. The thought's not what's going to get you. It's what you don't do with the thought. If you let it linger, fantasize about it, and keep doing it, it's dress rehearsal for the big day. Because if you keep thinking about it, if a woman is thinking about having a man who may be married and keeps thinking about it and keeps thinking about it and then dreaming about it, and then, you know, just she'll even get dressed and do herself right thinking about it. That's just dress rehearsal, because the day's coming where you're going to act it out. Well, under the old covenant, you couldn't be stoned until you acted it out. Under the spirit of the law, you judged right there immediately by the spirit. I mean, see that difference. Can you fix it right then and there? Well, sure you can. The Bible says if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father who's faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. How amazing is that? Do we bring the thoughts into captivity? We should. Do you entertain them? And entertain them? And entertain them? And entertain them? You're just getting yourself ready for the big day. Because it's coming. Does it happen? All the time. All the time. Well, not in the church. Same rate in the church as in the world. Matter of fact, the church, because it doesn't get scrutinized as much, maybe we're passing up the world when it comes to that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe we're passing the world up when it comes to it. The divorce rate's about the same. That's a problem. We're talking about the church. The divorce rate is about the same. Well, what's the point? If I stay in the world, I'm going to get divorced. If I go to church, I'm going to get divorced. That's the message we send. You know why? No stoning anymore. We don't stone. It's an anything goes. Do what you want. You know what it says? And it's very important that we understand that. Very valuable that we understand that. I read to you that Corinthians. Remember Corinthians when I started this? In Corinthians, he says, how is it that we hear of this immorality such as we didn't even hear amongst the Gentiles, that a man will have his father's wife? Very important. Now, I want you to see this because of how important this is. And I tell you what, I'm going to back up and read it to you so I don't misrepresent it. Give me a second to find it here. I read it to you, and I'm going to read it to you again. Go to 9:15, Philip. 9:15. All right? Lord, I am trying to get to this, but I got to say this to you. I want you to see it again. How many see that? 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. There's fornication among you. I want you to see that. And such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. I may see that. One should have his father's wife. Now, when it says his father's wife, that doesn't necessarily mean that's his mother. As a matter of fact, they'll say it in those terms so you don't get that picture. It could have been the mother died, he married again, which automatically seems to think that we're not related. I mean, see that. And what does he say? You can't do that. There's a reason for that, because it becomes his possession. Keep that in mind. Becomes his possession. Belongs to him. And therefore, what God has joined together, that no man will put asunder. It's been stamped by God. There's a reason for all of this. How many still with me? That one should have his father's wife. Verse 2, and ye are puffed up. Notice that. Ye are puffed up. Puffed up meaning there's an arrogance about you that, well, if they don't like it, they can just go somewhere else. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't see that they did anything wrong. That's puffed up. And have not rather mourned. What does he say you should be doing? You ought to be mourning. Because what just happened? He's brought a death or a curse upon his life, and you puffed up. And we have to be careful with this, church, because we could let this happen. Especially if, like I said last week, if it's ours. We should be mourning instead of being puffed up. That he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. What does that mean? Taken away from among you. What does that mean? That means stoned. Now, are they going to stone him in Corinthians? Well, no, they're under Roman law. Roman law says you can't do that. They were the killers, and they were masters at it. If they wanted you to do something, they were brutal. They knew how to make the whole community bow the knee. They'd light you up and put you on the street corner. So under Roman law, their law stood. No matter what the law said, the Jewish law. Remember that. I gave you all that proof text. I gave all that to you last time. So, verse 3 says, for verily, as absent in body but present in spirit, have judged already. He said, I'm not going to get in your whole gameplay in here. As though I were present concerning him that had done so this deed. So we're still talking about the guy who has his father's wife. In the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Master Yeshua. Did they quit church? No. They're still in church. They gathered together in the name of Jesus, speaking in tongues, prophesying, and got his arm around his father's wife. What does he say? That's a problem. Well, it's none of my business. I ain't getting involved. All I want to do is go to church and serve God. Well, that's not... The problem is if you think you can just rewrite the law of God, then you can do that. But if you're going to follow him, you can't just get your own idea and say, well, you know, because I'm going to let the Lord figure it out. Well, he don't need figuring out. He already knows the end from the beginning. Remember, we the ones need figuring it out. I'm going to let the Lord do it. The Lord didn't say he was going to do it. He said for you to do it. Let me understand this. This is about right, around this part is where it all gets tight, I notice. He says, as though I were present with you concerning him that had done this deed in the name of the Master Yeshua, Messiah, when you are gathered together in my spirit with power of our Master Yeshua. Notice what he says in verse 5. He said, what you should do is deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. How you do that? Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of Master Yeshua. Your glorying is not good. He tells him, he says, your glorying in this situation is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? You're going to start doing it. The very thing that we neglect to take care of could be the very thing that eventually we're doing the same thing. That's why he says, it's got to go. It's got to go. So how do you do that? Deliver them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. A person's got to know when they done wrong that it was wrong. So full participation in every activity of the person who did not do wrong, who's serving God, and that other person has full participation without ever being said anything to, can't learn a thing. Who's the first person that should say it? Your mama and your papa. Because that's first responsibility. Not the pastor. I'm just here to preach you the stuff you need to know so you can start doing it. If That's first responsibility. If it's yours, it's your responsibility. If it's the husband, it's his responsibility to the wife. Responsible directly. It's his position. If it's the wife, it's her responsibility to out him. If I'm fooling around with my wife, she got to out me to the people in the church. She has to. Not to the world. It has nothing to do with the world. He said, God judges those in the world. But those in the church, he said, you have to do that. You have to deliver them, because once that happens, I've been delivered over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That hopefully I change my mind and repent, and that the spirit may be saved in the day of judgment, in the day of Master Yeshua. Because other than that, it don't even feel wrong after a while. And he said, your glorying is not good. Don't you know you're not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? I may see this. Again, I wanted to point that out to you because it's important. Very important. So let me get back to it. Because I'm not even getting close to where we need to be today. All right. So how many understand when now we're doing the commentary on Matthew? And he said, but I say unto you about angry with your brother. And then he goes on and says, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman and lust after her. Reason I had to go back because I brought that back up last night. And so we went on from there. And then we got to this part right here, Matthew 5, 31 and 32. It has been said, whoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Notice that. But I say to you, that's the spirit of the law. What does the law say? Give her a bill of divorcement. But I say to you, now this is a big one. This is a real big one. That whoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. Notice that. Say except, that's an exception there. What's the exception? Fornication. Now that fornication is sexual immorality. It's the word porneia. It's where we get the word pornography from. Okay, now think about this. That whoever shall put away his wife, save for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. Causes her to commit adultery. And whoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. That's the leaven leavens the whole lump. Let me see that. There's a reason for this. Now, he says, you've heard it said, but I say to you. Now watch this. Notice there's a little change. Let me go back because I want to make sure I cover that. Previously he said, you have heard that it was said by them of old times. In this phrase, he says, and I think it's important just to point this out, that we clear on it. It hath been said. It hath been said. Whoever shall put away his wife, let him give a writing of divorcement. Now, we're going to move on. Psalms 19. He kind of helps clear this up for us. We want to see this entirety. The Pharisees also came to him, tempting him, and said unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Why? Because by then things have crept in. They've taken the scripture out of context. They're coming up with all sorts of ideas. In one of the Mishnahs, it says if the man comes in and he sees a woman prettier than his wife, he has the rights to divorce her. That's in the Mishnah. What's the Mishnah? What's the law? It's the added laws of the Jews that they lived by. So he comes in and he goes, man, she's prettier than my wife. He can give her a divorce. Well, I don't know where you got that out of here, but I didn't get that. Except for fornication. But that was what they add in. And I'm gonna show you. I don't know if I'll show you today, but I will eventually get to that. Now watch this, without a cause. In verse 4, and he answered and said unto them. Now this is the Messiah. He answered and said unto them. Now notice they're asking this question. This question's tricky. Without a cause. For every cause. Because the Torah reads and it seems to say that. But he's already telling them the exception's fornication, right? But watch this. Have you not read? This is Messiah. That he which made them from the beginning, made them male and female. I mean, see that. And said, for this cause, shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. For this cause, the male and female, I know that's a whole nother subject about the sanctity of marriage, but it means something to God. Now watch this. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife. Cleave to his wife, and the twain do what? Become a hod, one flesh. The twain become one flesh. All right, that's how God sees it. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. Keep that in mind, because you're going to need to know this. What therefore Elohim had joined together, let not man put asunder. Are y'all seeing this? So the two become one flesh. Now, there's idiomatic expressions that you're going to need to know. Idioms, Hebrew idioms. And I'm going to give you the definition of that because I want you to see that. The idiom is an expression whose meaning cannot be inferred from the meaning of the words that make it up. How many understand that? So if I say to you that abortion is a hot potato, I just used an idiom. What's the idiom? Hot potato. Now, if I do a whole book on that, and you look up, and you're going to try to figure out what I did, study what I did, and you look up the word hot, are you going to learn anything about abortion? No. What if you look up potato and start a potato? I'm looking up all the scriptures on potato. Are you going to learn anything about abortion? No. I used an idiom. I said, abortion is a hot potato. What do I mean? You see? It's a very heated and controversial subject. You understand my point? You know what I mean by hot potato because you understand that in your culture. You heard it before. You've heard that. So I'm just using that as an example. That's what you're about to get into in the rest of this message. So you have to keep that in mind. Now, all this is leading somewhere, and it's very important. Go to Malachi chapter 2, verse number 1. Malachi chapter 2, verse number 1. I just finished my review. Just to get us here, because last night we were rolling, and I talked about a lot of stuff, and I feel like I had to just cover some of it. Now, but if those of you here last night, you know I added a lot to it that I couldn't say last night because time was running out. But I got it in. Thank you, Lord. Number 1, verse 1, Malachi chapter 2. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. This commandment is for you. Who? Priests. Ministers. If ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith Yahweh of hosts. What he requires? Glory unto my name. How do you give glory? You got to hear and lay it to heart. Somebody told me, I'm giving God glory. Not if you don't say nothing. Don't come to, well, I sing glory be to God. No matter what you sing, if you say nothing, you gave God no glory. He said, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. I don't know about you, but I don't want my blessings cursed. Somebody said, well, I'm in it now. It's flowing. Go on and not say nothing and see how much the flow happens. All of a sudden, your blessing can be cursed. So it means you can get to some place where you was obedient to God and you got there. And then all of a sudden, you quit saying so you can be all-inclusive, including everybody. And guess what happens? He curses the blessing. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Notice this, Malachi. This is Malachi. He said, well, you got to lay it to heart. Now, verse 3. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. Ain't nobody here wants your seed corrupted. I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your face, even the dung of your solemn feast. What does he call a solemn feast? Dung. You understand that you can still go through all the elements of service and they mean nothing to God. That's what he's telling us. He's talking to who? The ministers. Talking to the ministers. And one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Notice this. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for fear wherewith he feared me. Remember last night I talked about, if you don't say nothing, what happens? People quit hearing and fearing. Hearing and fearing is a big thing, because when you hear and fear, you don't do it. You definitely don't want to do it no more. But you know what puts hearing and fearing in people? When they witness the exposure, and it's an embarrassing time. That's the stoning. The way stoning comes in under the new covenant. Put them away from you. And that's hard to do. We don't want to do that in church today, remember. That's just not how it is in society today. The inclusion is important. We just, you know, we ought to be all together, doing stuff together. I know that all sounds wonderful, but you got to be careful because you'll start mixing the holy and the profane together. And God doesn't tolerate that. Verse number 6, the law of the truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace, in equity, and did not turn many away from iniquity. Notice that, because when you're doing right, it works. Now watch this, verse 7. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge. The priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth. For he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. Not my ideas. I'm here to talk to you about the, I'm the messenger of the Yahweh of hosts. And I don't want my blessings cursed, but they will be cursed. Verse 8, but ye are departed out of the way. He talks about what happened. He says, this is what it should be. He said, but you are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have caused many to stumble at the law. Do you see why it's important for us to take our time and go through this? I don't want you to stumble at the law. I want you to understand what he's saying about it. Ye have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith Yahweh of hosts. Verse 9, therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as you have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Notice that. I highlighted that separate. You have been partial in the law. How many of you know there's too much picking and choosing? Which ones that fit our lifestyle? Well, I don't mind doing this one, but I'm not doing that one. I don't think I got to do that one. How many of you understand that? The only way we're not under it is if Messiah has said, and he says what to do. Well, I can't stand that person. I can't stand that person, but I ain't did nothing. I wouldn't mind having her, but I didn't do it. You only thought about it for 2 months. According to Messiah, you broke that covenant. Do you understand that? So you can't be partial with the law. I don't want what he said. I'd rather the old covenant, because I didn't do it, and if I didn't get caught, I still get away with it. Not under the new covenant. Under the spirit of the law, the spirit knew you did it when you did it. He knew you'd done it before you was going to do it, and so he tried to get you out of that by wooing you in a different direction. You know, it'd be a good time for a good song right now. You know what would be good right now? Get your Bible. We're going to read the Bible. And we neglect that, and you head it right in the direction of where your heart's bringing you. And that's to get off from the Word of God. And it's a terrible place to be. Watch what he says about it. Verse 10, have we not all one Father? Hath not El created us? Why do we deal treacherously? Why do we deal treacherously? Every man against his brother by profaning the covenants of our father. Why do we do that? Now, I'm going to give you the definition of treacherously. Here it is. By violating allegiances or faith pledge, by betraying a trust, faithlessly, deceitful and untrustworthy, as to surrender a fort to an enemy treacherously to disclose a secret. Treacherously. This is what you're doing. So it's not just you that's affected. When you do it, it's a treacherous act when somebody does this. And we're still dealing with what Messiah says about the writing of divorcement and have you not read. That he who made them from the beginning made them male and female. And I want you to keep that in mind. We're still talking about this sexual immorality that we talked about in Corinthians. Verse 11, Judah had dealt treacherously. And an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah had profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved. Now who's the wife of? My wife. My wife is a daughter of the Most High. A daughter of the Most High. We marry, she is now my possession. We're one. What I do to her, I've done to the daughter of the Most High. How many understand how serious this is? I've done to the daughter of the Most High. And then at the end of the day, shout hallelujah. That can't happen. The more you study, the more you'll see about all the adjustments we need to make as believers, that we got to change the way we approach our wife, our husband, our children, our church people. There's a difference. Think about it. For Judah had profaned the holiness of Yahweh, which he loved, and had married the daughters of a strange god, a strange god. What did he do? Married the daughters of a strange El. Yahweh will cut off the man that doth this, the master and the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob. What happens with the leaven? A little bit leaven. What happens to it? It leavens the whole lump. I'll cut the master, the scholar, out of the tabernacle of Jacob. And him that offered an offering unto Yahweh of hosts. Who does the offering of the offerings? The minister. How many see there's an obligation and a responsibility? How many see that? Now, we can know, not read this and say, well, I don't want to know that. I'm not listening to that because once I know it, I don't want to have. But let me tell you, you go studying the Word and all of a sudden you go, I can't do that. There'll be things you've done you can't do. Are y'all still here? Verse 13, and this have ye done against, again, covering the altar of Yahweh with tears. Now watch this. Now you got to see it. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weeping and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering anymore. So the function of the service is still going on. But he can't regard it. How many want him to regard what's happening? Or received it with goodwill at your hand. Let me see that. Verse 14. Yet you say, wherefore? Why? because Yahweh hath been witness between thee, are you ready for this, and the wife of thy youth. Notice that. This is Malachi. Yahweh hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Once have you not heard from the beginning that God created them male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, the two shall become one. The moment you become one, Yahweh, and Yahweh had been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth. Set. He's the witness. So how in the world can you write a bill of divorcement? You understand that? This is what he's getting at. Now, why don't stop here? Against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Why, Yahweh witnessed the wife of your youth against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Now, why? In other words, you gave the secret away. It's like you're working for the enemy, but you're really on the other team. And all of a sudden, you tell them, hey, this time, that's where we're going to be. We're all going to be there. And y'all coming in. You see, that's dealing treacherously. You look like you're on the team. You act like you're on the team. You shout like you're on the team. You prophesying like you're on the team. But you're dealing treacherously. So when you're in the other room and you're doing something that's against the command of God, you're dealing treacherously with the entire body. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? He's reminding you. That's your companion and the wife of the covenant. I hope this helps you. Verse 15, and did not he make one? Am I still on the same page? Are we in the context of what we're dealing with? Have you not read? That he which made them from the beginning made them male and female? Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, the two shall become one. And did not he make one? I'm in Malachi, by the way. Yet hath the residue of the Spirit, and yet hath he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one? That he might seek a righteous seed. What he was going to do to the seed if we don't repent? Corrupt the seed. What is he seeking? A righteous seed. What happens when you do things God's way? The righteous seed comes forth. How do you think we got the righteous seed of Messiah? Because they did things God's way. How did we get the bad seed? How did the bad seed ever creep in? They did things the wrong way. Keep that in mind. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none of you deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. I hope this is helping you. Maybe you read Malachi and you didn't know what that meant. But here we are. God's revealing this to us as it connects to the rest of Scripture. Verse 16, for Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, saith that he hath put it, he hateth putting away. Let me see putting away. He hates that. For Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away. He hates the putting away. The bill of divorcement. He can't stand it. For one covereth violence with his garment. That's the comment right after. For one covers what? His garments with violence. That word violence is Hamas. How many of you ever heard the term Hamas on the news? Hamas. How many of you heard that term Hamas? The Arab Hamas group is one of the largest, not the largest, but one of the largest terrorist groups in the world, Hamas. There's a reason they adopted that name. It means violence. We're violent. But Hamas is in the scripture, and it means violence. For one covereth Hamas with violence with his garment, saith, Yahweh of hosts, therefore take heed to your spirit that ye deal not treacherously. So when you do that, what do you do? He said, you cover your garment with Hamas, with violence. We're going to go into this a little bit and see how far we can get. There's Strong's Concordance, Hamas, violence, wrong. You see the definition in the short down at the bottom. The next one, verse 17. Ye have wearied Yahweh with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doth evil is good in the sight of Yahweh, and he delighted in them. Who wants to weary Yahweh? Well, I'm never going to say that. Everyone who does evil is good. Really? Did you put them out? If I would want to break my laptop, I was going to do a drop the mic moment just right there. I almost did it. But I don't want it to break. Because that was a drop the mic moment right there. Boom. Do you? Oh, I ain't saying nothing. It's not my business to say. Really? If the pastor needs to say it. I'm not married to your wife. It's not my husband. It's not my children. Think about it. Oh, by the way, I am saying it to everybody. You understand? That's the job I have. I'm here to deliver the message from Yahweh. I am saying it. But I can't initiate it. You have to. I'm just saying, if you want to help somebody, this is how you do it. They got to be, hearing fear has got to come back. If the hearing and fearing don't come back, people's going to keep doing it. That's why we got these clowns. That's a good word. Man, that's a safe word. That'll get up and call themselves a prophet. And then they'll give these little cards out to these single women. They lead silly women captive. Come to my hotel. Hallelujah. I'm feeling it. I got a personal word for you. And they all, the prophet called me to his hotel. Sure. No kidding. You walk in and, oh, ha, 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 ha. And what happens? And it happens over and over and over and over again. And you know what the church says? Shh, it's not my business. Touch not the prophet. Do him no harm. Out of context. Completely out of context. What are you talking about? We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. So if that person then gets caught, that's what happens. They get caught, but there's no hearing and fearing. Then they say, well, you know, you can get caught up in anything. We're still going to have him come. We're going to have him come because he's well known. People like him. Think about that. How can a man who's a prophet have another man's wife and then still be called the prophet of God and be invited to go somewhere? How's that possible? And what's your take on it? What's your feeling? Well, I don't have no feeling because it ain't none of my business. It is your business because he's in the same church that you're in. Well, I don't go to that church. I don't go to that church. We call ourselves believers and we're afraid to stand up and say anything. We're afraid to. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. You're going to keep seeing it's going to look, man, they're going, hey, well, you know what? It ain't that bad for them. They're still have a lot of stuff. Well, the enemy will use that before you know it. Yeah? You can do the same thing. That whole, all them rules is not that serious. Look at the Lord using them still. He's up in the hotel with somebody that's another man's wife, and the Lord still, you look at him, how blessed he is. And that's how people are thinking. The guy gets up, and I'm talking about a real story. I'm not making this up. He gets up and says, the Lord just told me, 50 people are going to run up here with a $20 bill and throw it at the altar. You know what happened? 50 knuckleheads. got to scrambling for their purses and their pocketbooks and took off running and threw it up there after the man got caught, after it became public, after over 1.7 million people viewed the information that came to be true. I think that's exposed. And you still got up and done it. Something's wrong with that. I'm going to tell you, I'm just reading to you what's wrong. They forgot that that woman was the Most High's daughter. And the man who wasn't there, that was his possession. Do you get my way I'm going with this? That's forgotten. Know why? No hearing, no fearing, and the consequences are not there anymore. So guess what? It's easier to just keep taking the daughters of God and other people's possession and doing whatever you want with it. That's how it becomes easy. Doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. They become one. Daughters of God, the man's possession. Now I want you to get this. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1. And it came to pass. I'm going to go fast because I got to get this in before we leave. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 1. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them. How many see that? Daughters were born unto them. That the sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. How many see where I'm going with this? The sons of Elohim saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all, which they choose. How many see that? That's what's happening. Same thing happening. But that was, when this happened, God didn't like it. I'm just asking you, what makes you think he likes it when it's happening today? They took the daughters of men as they choose. Now watch this. Verse 3, and Yahweh said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that also is... For that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of Elohim came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were men of old, men of renown. Now I'm going to tell you that seed that came from them was the seed that was corrupt. Remember about the corrupt seed? He said, I'll corrupt your seed. How many wants a righteous seed? You know how you keep a righteous seed? Stay with your daughter, the daughter of God, your wife, your possession. You can reverse that however you want, husbands, wives. I'm just using that because it's easier to say. But it all works the same. How many see that? Now watch this. You got to get this. And don't worry about a thing. Those of you that's been through this trouble and you've had that, I'm going to give you something before I leave so you can understand why I'm doing this. The same became mighty men of old, men of renown. Now watch verse number 5. And Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Why has the wickedness become great? Because of what they did. Because of what they did. Can't do that. God said, you can't. Remember what Messiah says? Haven't you heard from the beginning? He made them male and female. And what God has joined together, no one put asunder. Because why? He witnesses the covenant. So therefore, I just want you to know. So we get up, we might have a wedding, right? You have a wedding, you talk about it. But why are you up there? Listen what you got to understand. God's looking at the guy and said, let me just tell you something. This is my daughter. Now, we get the father to give the daughter away. But what we fail to realize, when you take that woman's hand, that's the daughter of God. And you treat her right. Now, the daddy might do that. You know, he might be a tough guy. He's not, look, you take care of my daughter. And rightfully so. And if he don't, he should step up and say something, because that's his daughter, really. But also, never forget, God says, hey, that's my daughter. You tend to her. You making this promise? I'm a witness it. You treat her right. Don't fool around on her, because I'm going to come get you. Now, I can tell you, you'd rather be gotten by the daddy of the daughter than getting by God. Because he'll corrupt your seed. He'll curse your blessing. Are y'all following what I'm talking about? Sometimes I just got to sit back and relax because of the information that comes off these pages and how incredible God is. You will never read the Bible ever again with the same eyes you had once you understand this series we're in. Never. It's impossible. Because you're going to see what God meant. And it's all going to come together. Now watch what he says. Yahweh saw that the wickedness of men was great in the earth, and that every imagination and thought of his heart was only evil continually. How many see that? Only evil. Not good. Only evil. If I'm talking about only evil, that's what I mean. And it repented Yahweh that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with Elohim, and Noah begat three sons. Three sons. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth was also corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with Hamas. That's that word again. What does he relate to Hamas to? The garment from the fornication that took place when the exchange happens between a man and his wife. I just read it to you. Same word, Hamas. What filled the earth? Violence. Because it had everything to do with what the angels did when they took the daughters of men. God didn't orchestrate that. He didn't author that. Therefore, you broke covenant. I'm going to ask this question. Does God orchestrate or command divorce? Think about that. Why did he put it in? Why was it added? Because of transgression. Why did the law come? Because of transgression. That's why it was added. But what did God say from the beginning? Yeshua said that. Under the spirit of the law. Under the spirit of the law. Remember that. Have you not heard that he which made them from the beginning made them male and female? Two of them become one flesh. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. The two shall become what? One flesh. Remember that. So I hope that you see this. Now remember, the earth was also corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with Hamas, filled with violence. And Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Elohim said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them. How did the earth get filled with violence? Through them. A little leaven? Leaven's the whole lump. Through them. The earth was filled with violence. Through them. Sons of God took the daughters of men, took as many as they wanted. They didn't disregard God's command, disregarded God's rule, disregarded what God had already done from the beginning. If God, have you heard from the beginning? God made them, male and female. They are going to be husband and wife. Not angel and wife. That's a corruption of seed. That's where that comes from. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Let me see that. Matthew 19, verse number 7, they say unto him, why did Moses then command to give a written divorcement and to put her away? He said unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of their heart, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Are y'all seeing this? Because of transgression, the hardness of your heart. That's why it was added. But from the beginning, it was not so. That's what we have to get to, because that's what the spirit of Torah does. I don't know if you gave me a 1 minute or a 10 minute. One? Whoa, you better get ready for the tape. Tell me when to stop. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife except for fornication shall marry another, and so forth. I read it to you a moment ago. I got Galatians 3:19, if you're wondering, there it is, Galatians 3, wherefore serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, the hardness of your heart. How many see that? I'm going to stop. I'm just going to have to. I just looked at the next one, and if I go there, there's no turning around. None whatsoever. So, I'll finish next. I'll